Look, everything has sucked. For the past year, all we've been able to think about is the pandemic. Why it keeps getting worse. When the vaccines will come. When will life finally be normal again? Today, we're going to try to not talk about any of that. Instead, we bring you the sappiest Canadian love story we could find. She was a master student visiting London searching for someone to see her favorite show with. He was a policy consultant working there who already had tickets. 10 months later, he proposed in their living room in London. A few months after that, they had their wedding dance in a living room in Toronto. This is the story of two star-crossed lovers who spent their first year of marriage in lockdown and loved every minute of it. I'm Fatma Sayed, sitting in for Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Sharman Rahman is an immigration lawyer. Tom Goldsmith is a policy consultant. They're both newlyweds. Hi, Sharman and Tom. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
So we were searching for just a very sappy Canadian love story. And Sharman, I'm so grateful you emailed us and shared this amazing transatlantic romantic experience that you both have had that includes all your staple Canadian things, visa drama, immigration, long distance, and a pandemic wedding. And also, because I'm a huge West Wing nerd, it includes the West Wing. So I am absolutely thrilled to hear the story. So let's talk about how this all started. Sharman, why don't you go first? How did you guys meet?
Well, I was in London over in England doing a master's degree. I had taken a little sabbatical from real life in Toronto after a few years of practicing law. And then kind of figured I had two female housemates, and we all signed up for online dating together, kind of hoping that it would start a new chapter for us or help us get out of our shell. It was September when I moved over, so winter was approaching, and we knew we'd kind of need something to force us out into exploring the city. And then, so we all set up our profiles together. Tom messaged me in January, and it just shot off from there.
Okay, so I have to ask about this message. Tom, when you saw Sherman's profile, what was the first thing you said to her? And also, what attracted you about her profile?
I think I kind of messaged about the West Wing. Sharman had, a fully kind of written out profile that was just, honest, which is nice and not always the case on online dating, where people just, a very small picture of them, but it was, music I liked, TV shows I liked, and travelling and adventuring, and she had photos of being up mountains, which I thought meant that Sharman enjoyed kind of like a bit of hiking and everything. Turned out you drive to the top of the mountain and get the photo. But at the kind of bottom of the profiles, a message me if section kind of thing. I think had if you kind of want to go to the West Wing Weekly, which is the podcast that goes into the West Wing, kind of nerdily episode by episode of it. They were doing a live recording in London a few months later, and I'd already got tickets to that with a friend, so kind of messaged love to go see the West Wing, and just great to kind of talk and stuff like that, I think.
Amazing. Sharman, tell us about your first date.
It was pretty perfect. It was pretty magical. Tom picked a restaurant, it was a little wine bar in Leicester Square, and it's cozy. It was literally underground, the kind of place that I never would have found on my own while touristing in London. And it had this giant spiral staircase that you had to walk down in order to get to the main restaurant area. I was pretty just concentrating on not falling over as I was making my entrance. And he was directly in front of the staircases. And I remember him being in a crisp white shirt that was slightly too big and just looking exactly as cute as his profile photos made him seem. So it was, we closed out the restaurant there, and then went off to a bar across the square Had a drink there as well. The whole date was 5-6 hours long, which was surprising. I think with online dating, everyone tries to just sneak in a casual drink before you commit to dinner, but we were fully into the first date. And then maybe about an hour or so into it, there was a couple beside us who just no fanfare whatsoever. All of a sudden, the guy got up and was on bended knee, and a ring was out of his pocket, and he was proposing to his girlfriend like an hour after Tom and I met. So that was an interesting experience. I remember being a little shell-shocked by it.
Wait, Tom, was that like pressure seeing that happen on your very first date?
A little. It's just like, where do you take the conversation after that kind of thing? Like, okay, omens.
What was your first impression of Charmin, Tom?
Just perfect. Just like everything from her profile, just so smart and so beautiful and so funny and witty, and like we ended up in the first date like talking politics and Trump and all kinds of things that you're definitely not meant to talk about on a first date, but we just
I was gonna say Trump on a first date,
yeah, like just getting into all that kind of stuff straight away, or just like what we thought about things and our takes on the world and everything like that, and it was such fun. And we're just able to laugh as well. Like, it was an easy humour. Like, when we went to the second bar at the other side of Leicester Square, I managed to order the most ginormous pink cocktail imaginable. It was like, there were only cocktails there, and burnt with cheap wine in bars enough times to know, like, go for something that they know how to do well and don't know many cocktails. And I just went, well, that sounds like it'll be tasty. And it was, but it was like the most ginormous pink cocktail. I felt so embarrassed walking the drinks back to the table. We were just able to laugh about it and have fun. So it was, yeah, magical.
Charmin, when did you know that Tom was it for you?
It was pretty early in. It's very unusual for me to have 5-6 hour long dates. It's not in my history, and pretty much anyone who's had a date with me pre-Tom would be surprised to hear that that's just instantly how we started off. But I think a real catalyst was, so I was over in England, all my family was back in Toronto, and in February, just like 2-3 weeks after Tom and I had our first date, I found out that my grandfather had passed away. So I had to take an emergency flight back to Toronto. I wanted to be there for the funeral. And Tom kept in touch. Obviously, we were 2-3 weeks into knowing each other, maybe 3-4 dates into knowing each other. But he was a real rock for me. And when I was home with my parents, I hadn't told anybody about him or that I'd met someone. But they could tell when I was messaging someone special, because every so often I'd respond to a message and I'd just smile at the living room or while sitting on the couch or while having dinner with them. And I'd get a little like wink and a nod and a little question from my mom being like, who are you messaging now? So I think that was the first kind of hint that this was special.
Tom, when did you know?
About the same time. Like, it was so quickly just easy to spend time together, and without it being a date. The following month was just like it was Easter weekend, I think, so it was like a late early Easter one in March. Kind of already knew this was something really special, but we just had a couple of my friends over for an Easter dinner. Charmin's housemates were both kind of away that weekend, so we kind of had it to ourselves, and we just did like a Sunday roast and everything. Friends were over with their 6-month-old baby, I think, and it was just such a fun, easy, relaxed weekend that it felt so natural as well. And we'd only been dating like 2 months at that point, but it was just like, yeah, this is something really special and something really worth going with, going full in with, kind of thing.
Okay, so I have to ask about the engagement. I mean, you both told me before we started recording this that you had a couple get engaged on your first date. And then you had a couple get engaged on your first trip to Paris. So you already had two omens. So how did the actual Charmin and Tom engagement go down?
So kind of just knew that I wanted to like spend my life with Charmin so quickly. By that summer, kind of 6 months in, we'd kind of moved in together. Then we kind of got a little flat of our own in London. And we like also knew that just there's going to be a lot of uncertainty with Charmin's master's had finished in August, and kind of immigration status would kind of expire come January. So we had like big stuff coming up and lots of uncertainty, but I just like absolutely knew I wanted to spend my life with her. And I was pretty sure she did too. So that was a good sign to kind of go with it. But then Charmin loves going to gigs and has been to about a million, and was, I think, often had gone to Ireland for a few days for a couple of gigs, I think, and that gave me a few days to go ring hunting. And I just like over the course of the weekend probably walked about like 50 kilometers just traipsing over London and then getting a tube to a different part of London to just go from like ring store to just try and find like the perfect ring. Eventually found it, kind of just a little artisan jewelry store in Islington, very near the like opposite where we went to the West Wing Weekly recording, it turns out, basically. So then got that. I then had a work trip, so Charmin came back, I had a work trip, so we had about a week and a half where we didn't see each other. I was thinking, we've got a trip to Canada coming up a month later in November, could do it there. We had like a little getaway planned at the end of the week in Canada, down in Niagara on the lake. That'd be a perfect moment to propose. Had been back from the work trip 2 days and the ring was like burning a hole in my pocket kind of thing, and then just ended up proposing in the living room just in PJs on like I think what had been Saturday afternoon or something like that. Just randomly I was like got down on one knee with it there, so a lot less public than the ones at the Eiffel Tower and in on the first date, but yeah, could just ask her then.
Charmin, was it perfect?
It was perfect.
Despite the pajamas and the living room, it was perfect.
Absolutely. I think by this point we had talked a little bit about rings and engagement. We had obviously talked about both wanting marriage in our futures, even if we hadn't necessarily talked about wanting to marry one another just yet. And then I think, you know, I made it clear that the one thing I really hated was like the big sports stadium proposals where you're proposing in front of 20,000 people. I really like the idea of a small, intimate proposal. So I loved it. It was great in the living room. I think I was shocked. We celebrated for a little while, and then I definitely got dressed and put on makeup before taking the selfie and putting it up on Instagram.
So how does this love story move its way to Toronto? Charmin, what happened after you both got engaged?
Well, we already had the trip to Toronto planned, and that was going to be the first time that Tom was going to meet my family and my friends in person, because up until now, everything had happened over in Europe. So he had met, or I had met his side of the family and his side of all of his friends, but he hadn't really interacted with many of mine except for the few that flew over to see me. So we came over to Toronto. At the time, we were thinking of that I would stay in England, that we would try and find a way to do that. But it just seemed, Toronto just seemed to fit Tom well. When we were in London, we were away from most of his friends and family because they're back in his hometown of Kings Lynn. in Toronto. My entire world is here. And just my friends surprised us with an engagement party. My parents threw us an engagement party. My aunts threw us an engagement party. It was a big, exciting kind of welcome to the family moment. And I think that helped Tom kind of settle in, and he saw how connected I was to the city and to the world that I had here already. So I think around the end of our trip, maybe on that Niagara on the Lake getaway that we had, he brought up, you know, would you consider me moving? How would you feel about us settling here? And I was pretty surprised. It usually goes the other way around. And I remember when I was telling my parents afterwards that we decided to settle in Toronto, their initial reaction was, really? Like, you would ask him to do that? He would do that for you? But it was entirely, you know, his initiative, and worked out pretty well, I think.
So I have to ask about the selfie a day situation that happened, because it's too sappy and too lovely not to talk about. So there was the period of time after this decision was made when you were apart for a bit. Tom, tell us about that period and how you stayed connected with your fiancé.
Yeah. So we applied for me to come over to Canada on a visa, and that got granted, would have been, what, January 2019. Charmin's visa in the UK expired a week later that January. So I couldn't move over straight away until I kind of got the visa. But the UK has insanely long notice periods. I think mine was especially long, but I had a 3-month notice period to serve out at my old work before I could actually leave. So yeah, during that time, basically, yeah, sent a morning selfie. Just, this is me today, what I'm wearing, the outfit of the day kind of thing, random generic suit to random generic suit most of the time. But yeah, kind of sent that just in the morning, and then I think every single day we would like have just a call or a video call. I think a fair few times I would stay up until 3 a.m. to watch Leafs games together. We'd both stream at either side, and so do that. So I think there's a few Maple Leaf jerseys in the selfies, and we kind of had like a couple of little one trip for a friend. We went to Prague together in March, I think it was, or February, and then Sharon came over to kind of help with the move and like be there for goodbye party meal things with colleagues and family and friends and everything.
This all sounds so novel to hear about in a pandemic when no one can go anywhere. But I'm so glad that I can hear about it and feel really, really happy for you guys. I do, however, want to talk about the pandemic wedding. You were meant to get married in April 2020, a 200-person wedding with everyone from both sides of the Atlantic coming over, gathering together. And then COVID-19 happens. Charmin, what was that like to navigate?
Stressful. We had been obviously following the news and knew what was happening. It kind of sensed that things were going to get shut down. And I think we made the decision to postpone the reception a week before the city actually did shut down for the first time in March. We were about a month away, but just with the first kind of news reports about especially the risk to the elderly. I mean, we knew that my parents were both over 65, and we were going to have a lot of family and friends of both of our parents over at the wedding, and it just wouldn't be able to go through with it. So even before it was official that we would have to cancel, we chose to postpone. And then it was a really long, hard summer. The restrictions kept changing. We kept finding out more about the pandemic and the virus and how it operates, how it spreads. Certainly the provincial and federal kind of responses to it evolved a lot over that first few months and the first summer of last year. We had postponed it to from April to September at first.
October.
And then, sorry, wait, yes, I always get this wrong. We had postponed it from April to October 1st, 2020, and then decided to postpone it again to September 2021. But once the fall kind of came along and after we made the decision to make the first postponement, we kind of decided that the reception was going to be fun and necessary, but we also just wanted to get married. We wanted to have this one kind of moment of romance in an otherwise really stressful year, and to cap a lot of other bureaucratic, you know, things that we had to navigate with all the visas and immigration and being long distance. We just wanted to have one indulgent day moment. It ended up only being an hour and a half that I think we ended up booking a photography studio. We kept it as small as legally possible. I had a friend of a friend who was my hairstylist, and we asked her to be a witness. We had our photographer who was supposed to shoot the wedding come and shoot the elopement, and she was also a witness. We told absolutely nobody. We just knew that this was absolutely going to be a decision we made for ourselves, when postponing the big reception was really a decision that we made thinking of the safety of everybody else. And we obviously thought that, you know, this would be the safest way to go. Keeping it as small as possible, it would give us the lowest chance that we'd actually need to postpone if somebody woke up with sniffles or a fever or whatever it was, that, you know, all the things that were possible. And yeah, it was magic. We got all dolled up. We spared no, we did it full on. I wore my wedding dress. Tom wore the suit his wedding suit. And yeah, it was magic. It was just this really intimate moment between us. And we shared the news with everybody after it happened, and I think we caught a lot of people by surprise. But everyone was by and large happy.
Were the parents angry?
Yes.
You told me you had your first dance in your living room. Tom, what was the song?
It was... oh, God. It was Glenn Hansard from one of the songs from Once, Falling Slowly.
Yes.
Yes.
Tom, I think you redeemed yourself there. You redeemed yourself. You're good.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fitting because you went from a pajama proposal in a living room to your first wedding dance in a living room. I think it's a beautiful parallel. I think the pandemic's really worked out for you guys.
Yeah.
I do want to ask, will there be a reception once this is all over, or will there be a redo once this is all over? Tom?
We still don't know. We're meant to have the reception that would have been on the first anniversary of the wedding this September, but we decided to cancel that at the start of the year. Partly just we have no idea what's going to be allowed, and we don't know if travel's going to be allowed come September, or are we going to be able to dance if, like, we can have a reception, but, like, dancing and a buffet and nice food and all of that's not allowed, then that's not really a proper reception. So we, at the moment, it's hard to know. We got engaged, 10 months into being together, and then the majority of the next 2.5 years were wedding planning in one way or another. So it's, yeah, we kind of just want to wait till when we can have it properly and then figure it out.
Very quickly, can I ask what it's been like to spend your first year of marriage together? Charmin, how's that been like under pandemic rules?
Lovely. I feel like we've been very, very lucky. We both work from home. We've been relatively cloistered. Back when bubbles were a concept, we were only bubbled with my parents, who, my dad's retired, my mom also works from home. So we kind of just got to hit pause on our honeymoon period. It was just a lot of time spent together, a lot of time spent rewatching The West Wing and doing a lot of TV marathons. And we started doing steak nights at home. We started doing monthly charcuterie boards. Like, it was a lot of time to just get to spend at home together, safe and grateful to be safe and grateful to be married. I said before that I thought the wedding was really indulgent, and everything since has felt the same, even if it's just been in our little condo.
Tom, do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. Like, if we'd been normal and, like, work had been a thing and going into the offices, then we'd spent half the time together that we've been able to spend together. So that's a rare treat. Like, it takes a pandemic to, like, just mean that we get to spend all our time together, and we've managed to play plenty of board games, and it would be great to be able to go traveling a bit and see other places together. Sham especially loves getting on a plane and hopping to a different part of the world, which I've grown to love since being together. But it's been nice. It's really been good to be able to, have each other at home and only each other. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your one moment of romance in an otherwise stressful year, you guys. I could not stop smiling throughout this entire conversation, and it's just improved my day. So thank you both for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, so glad.
Thank you.
That was Sharman Rahman and Tom Goldsmith, a newlywed couple in Toronto. And that was the big story. You can find more at thebigstorypodcast.ca. If you want to send us a message, you can find us on Twitter at thebigstoryfpn or an email at thebigstorypodcast@rci.rogers.com. I'm Fatma Sayed. Thanks for listening.